So the elder, therefore, in the end, having given up the idea of removing the children by force, calls out to them. He calls out. Now this call of the elder, in fact this whole symbolism of the call, is full of meaning. And what does it represent that the elder calls to the children? The call represents the call of truth. It represents the call, if you like, of the divine. Represents the call which most people hear at some time or other in their lives. Either when they're very quiet, when they're out in the country, or after some very tragic experience, or after a long and rather weary experience of life, perhaps when they've got rather fed up with it all, or maybe through great art or great literature, they hear the call. They hear the voice, as it were, of something beyond. If you like, they hear without hearing. They hear what has sometimes been called the voice of the silence. But having heard this voice, this call, even heard it very clearly, what usually happens, unfortunately, is that we ignore it. We go on living and working and enjoying ourselves as though we had never heard that voice, never heard that call. Sometimes we try to pretend to ourselves that we didn't really hear it at all. There was just our imagination, that we dreamt about it. But there was no call, no voice. Because vaguely, the idea that there might have been a voice, there might have been a call, rather worries us. We feel rather afraid, perhaps, because we don't know where the call is coming from. It comes from some very far mysterious region that we've no acquaintance with, and we don't know where the call, where the voice is calling us to. We think we may have to give up all sorts of things if you want to follow that voice, follow that call. We don't want to give them up. We don't want to go away, to explore unknown territory. Now we find, turning from the Buddhist to the Hindu tradition again, we find in medieval Hinduism that we have the very beautiful symbolism of what is called Krishna's flute. Krishna is one of the great spiritual figures of Hinduism. Traditionally, he's an incarnation of the god Vishnu, the preserver. He's a sort of semi-divine figure, a demigod, in fact. And all sorts of myths and legends are related about him. And the scene, in the case of Krishna's flute, the scene is a spot, a region near Delhi, which is called Vrindavan. And in the case of Vrindavan, the scene is night, and very dark night, night when there is no moon. And the whole village of Vrindavan, where the people are all cow herds and cow girls, where they live by agriculture and pasture, the whole village is sound asleep. So you can just imagine this scene. It's a very beautiful scene. This countryside with just the little mud-walled huts with their thatched roofs and the cow stalls where the cows are all locked up for the night, and the fields and the trees and the forest all sound asleep in the depths of the dark night. Everybody sound asleep. And suddenly, in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the silence, from a far distance, from the depths of the forest, there is a sound, a very sweet sound, a very faint sound, but a very shrill, very penetrating sound that seems to come from an infinitely remote distance. And this is the sound of a flute. And even now in India, you can sometimes have this experience. You can be all by yourself, all alone, in the midst of the countryside, and no one anywhere near, apparently for hundreds of miles. And it's all completely dark and completely silent. And suddenly, in the distance, you hear the sound of a flute. So this is what happened in this case, from the distance, from the depths of the forest, the sound of the flute. So what happened then? In a number of the huts, the wives of the cowherds, they're called gopis, which means, we're usually translated as cowgirls, which doesn't sound very graceful or elegant. But in Sanskrit and Hindi, gopi sounds very graceful and elegant and feminine indeed. Some of the gopis, the cowgirls, they wake up. Though the sound of the flute is very faint and very distant, it's as though they've been expecting it, so they wake up. And they know that the flute is calling them. They know that Krishna is calling them. So what do? They get up, and very quietly, without making any sound, without telling anybody, they steal out of their houses. They steal out into the streets of the village, and off they go into the forest. And the myth says, the legend says, that they leave their husbands, they leave their children, they leave their pots and their pans, they leave their cows and their goats, and they all go stealing off, rushing off eventually to dance with Krishna in the depths of the forest. So here, Krishna, of course, is a symbol of the divine. And the gopis, the cowgirls, represent the human heart, or human soul, if you like. And the sound of the flute, Krishna's flute, represents the call of the divine, sounding from the very depths of existence.